Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last preseason game tonight with our Falcons down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then it's go time. Falcons, Jacksonville. Apparently, Chris is enamored with the fact that Jacksonville is playing its starters and we are not playing who we need to be playing, which is something we've been talking about all day. I don't know why we are talking about practice. If you're going down to the stadium tonight, enjoy, right? It's preseason. We know what this is, but I don't need to see anybody unnecessarily play snaps to get hurt. We've already got two guys out on this defense that we were looking forward to seeing, and more importantly, we're going to contribute. And yet here you are saying you want to see Michael Penix playing more. I just don't understand it.
Why? It's pretty simple. Because there's a guy who's playing quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons right now. He's 36 years old.
He is.
He's coming off a major reconstructive injury.
Well, you got to make it sound worse than it actually is. It's Achilles.
It's the worst injury you could possibly suffer.
He's walking around. He's fine.
Oh, my God. And if. I get it, but at the same time, you need to account for everything. Meaning, if Kirk needs to miss a game or two, Michael Penix is the guy that you're going to. And for me, 16 throws in the regular season or in the preseason is not enough to warrant me feeling totally comfortable in week 5 throwing Michael Penix in there.
How much would you want him to play tonight if, in fact, he was going to play?
Half?
A half?
Yeah.
A full half?
Why not?
With backups that can't necessarily protect him?
Well,
you're going to get, now you're going to get somebody else hurt, and then how are you going to feel?
Why are you assuming injury?
You are.
Not in the preseason game. I'm saying if Kirk Cousins gets hurt in the regular season,
yes,
you need to have a backup plan ready to go.
Yes, but we won't have Penix if you don't protect him in a game in which you want him to play a half.
You're
in
just
with he's playing with second and third teamers.
You're assuming in the middle of the second quarter they have to open up the roof at Mercedes-Benz to helivac him the heck out of there. That's what it sounds like.
Why would you put him in danger like that? There's just no reason.
Because not putting him on the field, he's going to be ice cold.
Oh, come
on.
If
he needs to play in the regular season.
He's not been ice cold. You've seen him. Turtle at camp, he's been great.
Because he's going up against the same guys over and over and over again. You need to go up against representative NFL competition.
Okay. All right. That's part of our discussion today.
Okay.
404-726-0929.
All right.
You guys can let us know how you think about it and what you feel coming up.
Oh, they have.
Oh, I know they have. Grant McCauley's going to join us here. We're done at 5, so he's going to go around the yard with this great win last night by the Braves. And maybe we're underestimating these guys. Maybe they are going to find a way to get it done. And Turtle laid out some players, we'll talk with Grant about this, that have really stood out. And it's not the guys you think.
Yeah, it's not we. That one's on you.
What's
that? I'm all on the Braves train.
I can't be. They've been too inconsistent. They show me this, and then we'll lose and get swept against the Nats this weekend. You'll be right back here on Monday going, well, I don't know what to say. That is my issue. Put a string together. That is something they haven't done.
No, they haven't. But let me ask you this. If the playoffs started tomorrow,
yes,
the biggest difference from this year to last year and the year before?
Pitching.
They got four guys.
Pitching.
They got four guys. Carl?
Yeah.
Not one and a half. like they've had the last 2 years.
It's fair. Listen, and if Freed is Freed, as Snit said, that's Max Freed. And Sale is Sale, and Schwelly is Schwelly. And I mean, I'm with you on this. All right, we'll talk to Grant in just a minute. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes at Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Before we get to Alabama stealing a player, can I hear Kirby Smart on where the team is now that they're done with camp? The dogs won't play until next week, guys. We know that. That is the 31st full slate of games. They'll be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium taking on Clemson. We're going to spend a lot of time next week getting into that game. Tomorrow, big game to kick off the season for Georgia Tech. And we know Florida State, Georgia Tech, Mike's out. He went over to see it and check it out. But the thing for me is, and we said this earlier, it's for me, okay, it is about how Georgia Tech is able to stop the run. They were bad at it last year. Can they be better? And more importantly, DJ Uiagalelei. How well is he going to play? Because I felt like he was okay at Oregon State. He wasn't necessarily great. By the way, I don't think he is as good as Jordan Travis was last year.
No, he's not.
Not even close.
No.
So that is a concern.
His name alone, Carl. I know you said he had a decent
Oregon State.
Year at Oregon State.
He was okay.
But that's all on reputation at this point.
All right. So with that said, let's hear Kirby now that the dogs are out of camp.
They've grinded. We're not where we need to be by any means, but we have made progress. I mean, scrimmage one to scrimmage two progress was good. I saw things that I needed to see in terms of tackling, playing better without the coaches on the field, all the things you look for in young players to see them grow. You know, there's a small body of guys that have played a lot of football here that I know can go out there and execute. Then there's a larger body of new players that have to prove that. And I thought we had more guys execute without the coaches on the field Saturday and push through the heat, which is mentally tough, that you have to be able to get through that to grow and get better. And I'm pleased with where we are coming out of camp.
Yeah. And I can't wait to that game next week to see what the dogs look like. The one thing the dogs don't do is steal kickers, which we'll talk about. But I do want to get your thoughts on the game over in Ireland. Who do you like and why?
Yeah, I think if it's from a gambling perspective, I would definitely like Georgia Tech to cover, which is 10.5.
Yeah.
From a game perspective, and this is something we mentioned before. When it comes to...
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To just pure talent, Georgia Tech, where they and this is a ton of credit to Coach Key, where they started from and where they are now they closed a gigantic gap.
Mm.
But the gap between where the rest of the conference was, meaning the top dogs, Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, are they there yet? And I think this is going to be a really big test of that, because if they're there, then they can win. But right now, could I firmly say that I think Georgia Tech is going to win this game? I can't. I still would give a slight edge to Florida State. The defense is better, probably much better. Running game strong. I know they lost the receivers, and we just talked about DJU. They definitely have the advantage at quarterback. Georgia Tech does. But if I had to make a choice right now, I'd say Georgia Tech covers, but Florida State wins the game.
Yeah, I think all the pressure's on Florida State to get this done. If they don't win, it's going to be what's going on, what happened, Norvell's team, it was a fluke last year. You're going to hear all this stuff. I think all the pressure's on them. Hey, let's talk about Alabama stealing a player. Okay, I don't know if they did, but Miami of Ohio coach, his name is Chuck Martin, says they did. He says Alabama illegally recruited their all-American place kicker, a kid named Graham Nicholson. And this kid was the best kicker in the country last year. He is now at Alabama. And when asked about, hey, so you lost your kicker, This is Coach Chuck Martin's response.
All right, special teams, lost your kicker. Carter McLaughlin.
We didn't lose him. He's at Alabama. We know exactly where he's at. You media people, it's all pretend. Like, no, Alabama stole our kicker. They illegally recruited our kicker and stole him from us. And, like, that's a fact. But that's – but we act like it's not – we live in this la-la world. Like, hey, let's not talk – I don't know why everybody knows what's going on. So, yeah, Alabama stole our kicker. A couple other schools try to steal it, but
wow, I mean, he's not hemming and hawing right there. He's just like flat out Alabama stole our kicker. Is that what the board's doing down there?
I hope not. It's going to be a very rude awakening for him in year one if he gets hit with some sanctions.
DeBoer said after practice, "Turtle, Alabama followed the proper protocols." Now he doesn't sound like that. But
I don't have anything else to say about it.
Yeah,
but so
what
don't ask.
Sound like though, Carl? that's what the Alabama collective sounds like.
Well, they said we followed the protocol.
So you can ask the bottle.
Yeah, this
but
kid.
Don't ask me.
Thank you, Nick. This kid made 27 of 28 field goals last season. By the way, is Alabama stealing players? Is that what's going on down there in Tuscaloosa?
Would you be surprised?
Alabama fans tweeting at you in 3, 2, 404-726-0929. And by the way, I don't hate Alabama. The coach said they stole this kicker from
Carl, us. It is well established on this program how you feel about Alabama. Don't backtrack now. You can't backtrack now. Jerome is somewhere at Hooters in Buford right now, sipping on one of them green Heinekens, rolling his head right now.
Yeah. Jerome, y'all steal players, man?
If he's awake.
Good call. He was asleep last time we saw him. Hey, coming up, we go around the yard with Grant McCauley. All right, Turtle says he's all in. I'm saying maybe I'm sleeping on these guys. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit. We'll find out what Grant thinks next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley is here. We go around the yard. Braves start a new series after disposing of the Phillies in a series, let's be honest, we were all a little bit worried and concerned. Oh, man, I hope we don't get swept. We didn't. We won the series. Grant, I want to start with the bullpen, specifically Raisel Iglesias. Is he the best closer in the majors right now?
No, I don't know that there's any question with what he's done the last couple of months that he's on the best role of any reliever in Major League Baseball currently, and the best role of any Braves reliever since at least 1961, 35 consecutive batters set down. That's a perfect game plus 8 if you're into the whole math thing. That's pretty impressive when you consider it's been spread out across, you know, these multiple appearances and that he hasn't allowed an earned run in over 2 months. Yeah, I think Raisel Iglesias has got things locked down at the end of that Braves bullpen and is doing his job and then some.
With the series win against Philadelphia, Grant, now 7-3 in the last 10, this Washington series takes on all the more importance, and it's one of those things, Grant, we've seen it with this team all season long, the inconsistency bug that has bitten them. So how important is it for them to go out and take the series versus Washington?
Yeah, they can't stumble against Washington again. They're 2-6 against this club, which is 12 games under .500 as they come in to Truist Park to play this series. The Nationals have, you know, made no secret about the fact that they're in the midst of a rebuild. They're in a youth movement. They've got some really nice young players, but this is an inconsistent team. And the fact that the Braves have not been able to handle their business and maybe have the inverse of the record that we're talking about here. I mean, you're 6-3 against the Phillies, 2-6 against the Nationals. It makes no sense at all, but that's kind of been the 2024 Braves in a nutshell. So we'll see if they're able to go out there. They got Chris Sale on the mound in game one. They're going to be throwing Charlie Morton and Ronaldo Lopez in this series. So they've got the starters lined up, you know, to have, I think, what they need there. That's what they've been getting from this pitching staff and from this bullpen. With Jorge Soler back in the lineup, can that get some things kick-started and get this Braves offense to do just a little bit more than it's done the past couple of days? Because as much as we can sit here and talk about taking 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, the sweep was right there on the table. The Braves just couldn't get it done in that middle game because they couldn't get the hits when they needed them most.
Yeah, no doubt. It's Grant McCauley, guys, as we go around the yard. New series starting tonight. I asked this question, and it was kind of, you know, being facetious, but I said, where's Duvall been? You talk about clutch hitting. Mm-hmm. We've needed that, right, from him. We've needed it from a variety of guys. But that was big last night. Does this get him sparked?
One can hope. I mean, he has kind of gotten into a place where as much as the Braves were hoping to rely on him to fill in with the outfield being decimated by injury the way it has been, he simply hasn't been able to deliver offensively. He has looked a step off in the field. He just has not looked like the guy that you were really expecting him to be. He's lost playing time to Ramon Laureano. He lost playing time to Jared Kelnick prior to that. I mean, it's just not really been a clear place for him, even with the injuries that the Braves were dealing with. Then they go out and get Soler, and Michael Harris finally comes back. So you kind of wondered, where does Adam Duvall fit right now? Is he on the bubble of this roster if they have to make another move? I mean, is he the guy that's on the block at that time? So to come through with a 3-for-3 game, a go-ahead, and ultimately a game-winning home run, I guess I should say it wasn't a go-ahead, but it padded the Braves' lead at the time, but it proved to be the difference in the ballgame. He needed something like that, and hopefully that is the start of something, because as we've seen with Adam Duvall in the past, as streaky as he can be, I mean, it can be all the way to one end of the spectrum where he can't buy a base hit and the strikeouts pile up, and then he can get red hot and hit a whole bunch of home runs in a short amount of time. To say that the Braves offense could use one of those hot streaks right now might be the understatement of this call.
With a handful of starts left for each of them, barring anything unforeseen in either direction, Grant, if the Braves need a fourth starter in a series, is it Trellenbach or is it Morton?
That's a good question. And I think that, you know, ultimately it's going to come down to probably at this point, I should say, who is pitching the best, who gives them that best chance to win. And I think you've got to go with the one that's showing you that. And right now, I think Spencer Schwellenbach has got the edge, and maybe even in a three-starter scenario. I don't know. I mean, Ronaldo Lopez came back and looked great, but there were obviously some questions about him prior to that Philly start. As you mentioned, there's a lot of time left to sort it all out. But if you told me right now that I've got three starters to choose from, I would have a very hard time picking between Spencer Schwellenbach and Ronaldo Lopez, given that I'm going to go with Chris Sale and Max Fried, just being who they are and what they've done. But Charlie Morton's got the best postseason resume of any of these guys, so it's going to be an interesting question or conundrum, if you will. But it's a great starting five, and it's a great place to be in, especially when we consider the postseason in 2020, 21, 22, and 23. The Braves had some questions about their starting rotation and all of those. They're hoping to go into this October with no such questions about what their starters can do for them.
Grant, my question is, what are we getting in this Nats team? Listen, they're not good. I said this. We talk about these teams that are not as good as we are, that are not, you know, in playoff position or at least chasing a playoff spot. But you don't want to have a letdown. What is this team from the last time we saw them? I mean, listen, I feel like every time we see one of these teams, you know, things have changed with their roster.
Yeah, and it sounds like Dylan Cruz is going to get the call to come up. He's a highly regarded prospect who has rocketed to the majors. James Wood has come up, I believe, since the last time we saw them. I might be fuzzy on that. I don't remember it, quite frankly. I've slept since then, so it's hard to keep up with some of the other clubs' roster moves. But you know, C.J. Abrams has been a nice player for them this year. Mackenzie Gore, though, not pitching so well here in his last month or two than he was early on. But he's got the big strikeout stuff. He's a nice building block. He and Abrams obviously coming over in the Soto trade. The Nationals are hoping they're part of what they're building there in Washington to get themselves back into this race. And I say this, and I think I said it back in spring training. I know I've said it before, but the Nationals are not a great club, but they've been more competitive than you might have expected this year. And there's always that team in the division that they may not be able to win it, but they can cause some other team not to be able to because they gave them so much trouble. And right now the Nationals are playing that part to the Braves. They've been a thorn in their side. They have taken 6 out of the 8 games, as I mentioned earlier. That I did not expect at any point this year, that the Braves would be just trying as best they could over the final couple of meetings to be able to at least salvage the season series with the Nationals. That's just how unpredictable baseball has been, and you can't really overlook anybody, especially a young, hungry team with literally nothing to lose and everything to gain if they can go out there and make life harder on everybody else.
With Soler coming back to the lineup, who gets the short straw in the outfield?
Well, I don't know that there is necessarily, you know, too much of a short straw there. I think there's still going to be a bit of a rotation as far as the platoon goes in left field, depending on lefty or righty. Ramon Laureano should get more playing time, as Carl mentioned. I mean, Adam Duvall needed the game that he showed. Does that kind of get him back firmly in that mix? But I think you got to have Soler out there. Obviously, Michael Harris is going to be there. And as well as Ramon Laureano has played lately, I would probably lean with him, obviously, against the lefties. But Jared Kelnick is going to get his playing time. So it's going to be a little bit of a committee, if you will, for one of those spots. But the fact that the Braves finally can feel like maybe they've got 2 out of the 3 covered is a revelation in and of itself, because I feel like we've spent just about the last, what, 2.5 months since Ronald Acuna Jr. went down and Michael Harris subsequently after that. Just wondering if they could field three outfielders who might be able to make a difference in the lineup.
All right, Grant. Great stuff, man. We'll see what happens this weekend. When are you on, sir?
I will be on Sunday from 5 to 7. We'll talk about everything going on with the Atlanta Braves. We'll take our trip around the big leagues and maybe talk a little bit about how quickly the Mariners have fallen out of the race out west. I did not have Scott Servais getting fired on my list of things to happen this year, but that's exactly where they've ended up out there. So if you think we've had it bad or weird or had an up-and-down season here in Atlanta, I think they've had it even worse out in Seattle.
No doubt. All right, Grant McCauley, great job, man. We'll talk to you and be listening this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We're coming back. We got one more segment, and Nick Saban is over in Ireland. Our man Rusty Manziel just sent me something. I got to share it with you about this game tomorrow. Stay right there.
92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Turtle in for Mike today as he is headed over to the game this weekend, which is tomorrow, actually. Georgia Tech and Florida State over in Ireland. We have Falcons football as Jacksonville's in town to take on our Falcons for the final preseason game. Pre-game coverage at 5. I just saw Mike Johnson. He will be joined, obviously, by Chris Goforth. Those guys will have the pregame show for you. Kick is at 7.
He was yelling at me for calling out Squid Billy about how tall he is.
Is he saying you're shorter than Squid?
No, he's saying that, you know, he's sticking up for his guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm a man, I can tell you that.
Okay. I didn't know if he was saying that you are taller than Squid and he was admitting
Well, I most certainly am taller than Squid.
I'm paid to talk.
I don't know. That's why I asked you earlier and you were pretty adamant. 5'9". I was like, okay, you don't have to scream at me.
By the way, you think Mike Bell has blown a gasket yet with people taking pictures of their luggage and equipment like we talked about on Guy Talk?
Oh, yeah, with the TSA?
Yeah.
It's a big thing, man. I mean, Ireland, here we come. I don't know. I mean, can we just get in line and get through with this thing? He probably is. I've not heard from him, so I'm hoping things are going well. I know, what time is it? He might be on his way to the airport now. I think it's a night flight or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, when you haven't heard from him, it's probably usually pretty good. If you've heard from him, that means something's happened and he might have strangled
somebody.
Well,
the selfie counter starts tomorrow.
Well, this is true. That's true. It does. Our man Rusty Manziel does a terrific job on the Steakhouse. Covers not only high school and college football guys. He's all over the place. We were talking about this game and what are the keys to Georgia Tech maybe pulling off an upset. Again, I don't think a lot of people around the country are expecting, especially after last season in Florida State being so prevalent, not only in the rankings, but also just being one of the better teams. Unfortunately, they get struck with all those injuries, and then the guys are like, I'm out. Georgia beat the snot out of them at the end of the season, but that doesn't mean that they won't have a very good team this year. So Nick Saban is over there. Game day is going to be on tomorrow, by the way, from Ireland, so you'll get a chance to check all that out. But Saban was telling Pat McAfee today what he thought about FSU after going to see them practice. Now, here's my thing, and I said this to Rusty. If anybody's going to know what they're looking at when you talk about practice and championship caliber guys and what you are trying to focus on, it's Nick Saban. He's lived in that world for a very long time. So I just want you to hear what he said about Florida State because, again, I think Georgia Tech, they don't have to play flawless, but they can't make dumb mistakes and have silly turnovers. And, again, they've got to be on their game to keep this close, and then anything can happen. But this is what Nick Saban said about FSU.
On the other hand, Florida State, to me, has one of the best five, probably, personnel-wise teams in the country, the way they've been able to reload through the portal, as well as having good recruiting and good young players coming up in the program that they've developed. So I think they're one of the best teams in the country, and looking at them on the field, they're a very physical, good-looking team.
Did you say program?
Physical, good-looking team.
Five best in the country.
Strong, right?
Whoa.
I mean, that, and again, like, I don't know if anybody's talking about that. Now, I know it's the first game, but if you're going to tell me Saban, who has seven national championships, made his way to practice and that was his interpretations, it's pretty strong.
Now, here's my question, though, Carl.
Yeah.
Have you seen, read, heard that?
No.
From anyone?
No.
Anywhere else before that?
No.
So.
But. Who else, all right, outside of some boosters or some of the collective who may have been at practice, who obviously are going to say, "Yeah, we look great." I mean,
no, that's not the do the. You did a great voice before.
What are you talking about? The Georgia? You're talking about the Alabama voice?
The Alabama boost.
Well, yeah, that's a different deal. Yeah, we didn't cheat. I think that the Florida State folks, though, for those people who may have seen practice, I don't expect them to not feel like they're not going to be good. Who has went and seen practice would be my question. Have I heard any of this from anybody else? No. But Norvell allows Saban to go in there, and obviously ESPN's there, and they're carrying the game, Turtle. So they're there, and I think he's getting a chance firsthand to see maybe what many others have not seen yet.
Hasn't Mike Bell also been saying that from everything he's
hearing?
For
the last 2 months.
That
he's been saying
DJU not up to snuff.
He's been saying it for the last 2 months.
And that there's a lot of questions going on about this team. So the answer probably then is what, Carl? Somewhere in the middle.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Because if we're hearing two polar opposite extremes about this team, then they're probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And by the way, this doesn't mean it's going to be a blowout. All right. I'm not going to say that. There's a lot of unexpected things that happen in these first games, right? Week one is just, it's weird from that standpoint. Even like the numbers we were talking about, the spread. When this first came out and there was like, oh, Ireland, I think the spread was like 14, guys.
Yeah.
And it came down and it's now what, 10?
10 and a half.
So just, you don't know what we're going to get. But if Saban is saying, hey, I'm looking at this team and I think this is my evaluation of them, maybe they become that as the season goes on. I will tell you this. I've talked to some folks in college football, and they do believe Florida State is going to still win the ACC, regardless this year of expansion with SMU and Cal and Stanford. It doesn't matter. They still feel like that's the best team in the ACC.
Miami and Clemson are really the only challengers, I would think. Miami has Cam Ward and Cade Klubnik's back for Clemson, and Dabo's still hanging his hat on the whole non-NIL, non-transfer portal thing. But who else in the ACC are you even concerned about, right?
Well,
all right. What's this guy's name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Tyler.
I've listened to enough of you.
Tyler.
Yeah, it just depends on how you view the schedule and when you get certain teams. Listen, you know, I think when you go to, and I'll just use this because they finished with Florida, and I don't think Florida's going to be great this year, but I'm looking at Florida State's schedule right now. And to your point, you get Cal and SMU this year. Now you got to go to SMU, you got to go to Dallas, but still, to me, that's a win for them. The Clemson game is October 5th, so you learn a lot about your team. And then 2 weeks later, you're at Miami. You got to beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is going to be good. Okay, yeah. So we will see. But even if they lose, one or two losses, I don't think hurts Florida State.
Well, if they lose to Clemson and Georgia Tech,
that's different. That's different. But that's why this is such a big game. All right, just wanted to let you hear what Nick Saban had to say. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're coming back. We'll wrap things up. We're done at 5. The guys, yeah, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson have you for Falcons pregame as they get ready for Jacksonville here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.